We welcome brothers, sisters, and friends in the name of the Lord. On this beautiful Lord's Day, before we open his precious word, let us turn to him in prayer. Heavenly Father, how majestic is your name, and in this morning, we laud it. We lift it up, and we look to the heavens, Lord. For Father, we are frail, we are lowly, and that is the state, Father, that you can work. So, Father, in this morning, as we look to you for strength, turn our hearts to you, O God, for we are in need. And we trust and have faith in this power of the Spirit that you can change us, that you could bring us closer to you. So with that intention, Lord, we pray that everyone here would have the desire to be closer to you, O God. Empower us with your Spirit and guide us with your hand. For it is in Jesus' name we pray. Amen. If you would like to turn with me to the Gospel of Matthew, with the Lord's help, I've desired to read out of chapter 25, a familiar parable that Jesus presents to the disciples here, parable of the talents. Matthew 25. And we'll pick up the reading at verse 14. For the kingdom of heaven is as a man traveling into a far country who called his own servants and delivered unto them his goods. And unto one he gave 5 talents, to another 2, and to another 1, to every man according to his several ability, and straightway took his journey. Then he that received 5 talents went and traded with the same, and made them other 5 talents. And likewise, he that had received 2, he also gained another 2. But he that received 1 went and digged into the earth and hid his Lord's money. After a long time, the Lord of those servants cometh and reckoneth with them. And so he that had received 5 talents came and brought 5 other talents, saying, Lord, thou deliverest unto me 5 talents. Behold, I have gained beside them 5 talents more. His Lord said unto him, well done, thou good and faithful servant. Thou hast been faithful over a few things. I will make thee ruler over many things. Enter thou into the joy of thy Lord. He also that had received 2 talents came and said, Lord, thou deliverest unto me 2 talents. Behold, I have gained 2 other talents beside them. His Lord said unto him, well done, good and faithful servant. Thou hast been faithful over a few things. I will make thee ruler over many things. Enter thou into the joy of thy Lord. Then he which had received the 1 talent came and said, Lord, I knew thee that thou art a hard man, reaping where thou hast not sown, and gathering where thou hast not strawed. And I was afraid, and went and hid thy talent in the earth. Lo, there thou hast thine, there thou hast that, that excuse me, there thou hast that is thine. His Lord answered and said unto him, thou wicked and slothful servant, thou knewest that I reap where I sowed not, and gather where I have not strawed. Thou oughtest therefore to have put my money to the exchangers, and then at my coming I should have received my own with usury. Take therefore the talent from him, and give it unto him which hath 10 talents. For unto every one that hath shall be given, and he shall have abundance. But from him that hath not shall be taken away even that which he hath. And cast ye the unprofitable servant into outer darkness. There shall be weeping and gnashing of teeth. read to the verse 30. Let's bow together. The context of this parable of that we read here is really bookended by two other parables. Matthew 24, in the first verse, the apostles are sitting with Jesus and they ask Jesus about the kingdom. Lord, tell us about the kingdom of heaven. And Jesus here starts describing what the kingdom is like. Like a teacher talking to his students, oftentimes you have to tell a story. You have to bring in an analogy. If you're not getting it the first time, make it simpler. He was a great teacher. A great teacher isn't someone who's a great orator or knows a bunch of big words. But a great teacher is one that it can impart a lesson or a teaching to a student in a way that they can understand. And here is what Jesus did. Jesus took relatable objects, situations, and here he's teaching the disciples. He taught them about the 10 virgins, about trimming their lamps and making sure they had enough oil. Then he talks here what we read about the talents. 3 servants getting each individual a specific amount of money in that case. And then in the third parable that we read here in Matthew 25, he talks about serving one another and separating the sheep and the goats. So if we look at the parable of the 10 virgins, that's the preparation of the gospel. Right? The talents, the parable of the talents, that would be declaring the gospel, going out and telling others. And then finally, the third parable that Jesus talks about here, the sheep and the goats, that's the demonstration of the gospel. And so he puts these 3 parables beautifully together, pairs them, or puts them right after the other to tell a story, to teach these fishermen about the kingdom. And so he starts off by saying, for the kingdom of heaven is as a man traveling into a far country who called his own servants and delivered unto them goods. This man traveling to a country is a very wealthy man. And he has 3 servants and he disperses money. A talent in the New Testament is a weight, a measurement. And a talent would equal about 75 pounds of a specific weight of a monetary value, maybe silver or gold. Luke gives another account of a master that had servants, and they were each distributed a pound. That pound equaled about 3 months' wages. And here we have 75 pounds per talent. So we're dealing with a lot of money. And Jesus does this also when he's asked how many times we should forgive our brother. And he's asked, Lord, should we forgive him 7 times 7? But it's a lot of times, 49 times in a day. And Jesus goes furthermore and says, not 7 times 7, but 70 times 7. He gives the extreme. And as a teacher trying to impart a teaching to his student, what would that tell you? There's no end. So here, the amount of money isn't incredibly important. But what's incredibly important is a few things. One, you have a master that gifted something of value to a servant. So as we think about this and as we go through this parable, let's try and apply it to our own lives. Because I believe as you, I don't necessarily believe that this is God telling us about the money that we actually receive in our hand. This has a deeper meaning. These talents aren't of monetary value for us to read. This is a spiritual application for us. So if we think about this, what this talent should represent, we should think that it should represent something that was gifted to us by God. What is that? Faith. Each one of us have been gifted a measure of faith. Some of us have yet to receive that and apply that to our lives. But brothers and sisters, each one of us have been gifted a measure of faith. And if we look here, God didn't gift that measure equally. Does that mean God is not fair? Or God is unjust? Really means God knows better. And that's part of his sovereignty, accepting who God is, and he will deal with me as he pleases. The danger here is that if we received two talents, and we see someone who have received five talents, our flesh kicks in. Our pride kicks in. And the temptation is to compare. And what's incredibly appealing about this story to me is that the one who received five and the one who received two, they didn't compare each other. They received the talent from their master, and what did they do? They put it to work. They put it to use. In 16, it says, then he that had received the five talents went and traded with the same. He received the talents, and what did he do? He got that talent, and he saw value in that talent. This talent was so precious to me that I received this from my master that I'm not just going to let this sit. I'm going to then put this talent to action. I'm going to take this talent that the Lord entrusted me with. God saw value in me that he would give me this talent. God sees value in us that he gives us faith. Is there anything more precious than faith? And we, as a profitable servant, are to invest that. And let's see maybe what that looks like in a practical sense here. Because we can't take faith to money changers and go and gain interest, can we? So we have to bring it to a spiritual application. Those talents are in the form of a spiritual gift. Each one of us have a spiritual gift. The call to the master is to exercise that spiritual gift. Hospitality. Words of affirmation. Are you an encourager? Some of us have been blessed with abundance. How do you distribute that? Spiritual gift. Of teaching. Of preaching. Of prophesying. Of memorizing scripture. Of being able to relate to one another. Empathy. Spiritual gift. How are you using your spiritual gift, my brother and sister? It's a question each one. How am I using my spiritual gift? It's how we identify our spiritual gifts and how we use them. That's how we analyze and define how much faith we have. Because God then takes that spiritual gift and he provides the increase to it. The increase to further his kingdom. That's what the context here is. It's about furthering the kingdom of God. It's not about furthering our kingdom or a kingdom that we can build with our own hands. You see, if the three parables are linked together, you have depending on the gospel, you have declaring the gospel and demonstrating the gospel. All those three are independent of ourselves. Those three subjects are about others. But the call today is for God to use us to depend on the gospel, to put all our strength, all of our energy, all of our focus on the gospel, and then to declare that gospel. That's not ours, that's his. And then to demonstrate the gospel, to be the hands and feet of Jesus, to proclaim his message to a lost world, and to build the kingdom of God. Then he that had received one went and digged in the earth and hid his Lord's money. We have the first two servants that are faithful. And we have the third servant who hid his Lord's money. And when we think about it, sometimes, if we're honest with ourselves, we hide our faith. And we're maybe embarrassed or ashamed, or in this case, actually afraid. What are you most afraid of? Have you thought about that? I think it depends on what stage of life you're in. When I was young, I wasn't really afraid of much. As you get older, you see what wicked this world is. You become a little afraid of other things. But what are you most afraid of? And what does fear do? You see, the parable of the talents can be an application of stewardship. Right? What God has entrusted you monetarily. But maybe let's look at this parable, application of what are we actually afraid of. You see, this third servant, he was afraid of his master. And he knew that his master would reap where he didn't sow. And what does that mean? You see, his master was an investor. His master had large monetary value. And he relies on that money that he has accumulated over the years to then work for him. So indeed, the master didn't sow one seed. But as the master, he's the one who determines who gets what. And here we see that the third servant was afraid. What does fear do? Here we see fear cripples. Fear puts us in a bind, and fear puts us in a state where we are stagnant, where we are unprofitable. It could be said that doubt is the enemy of faith, but I would say, according to this parable, fear is the opposite of faith. You see, the apostles doubted. Even one doubting Thomas is his name. But once Jesus revealed himself to him, he declared, "Lord, my God." See, God can work with doubt. God can work with uncertainty. But if you are afraid, do you know how many fear nots there are in Scripture? God doesn't call us to be afraid. He doesn't want to build up a body that's scared all the time. What's going to happen next? Fear of the unknown. You see, if you're scared, We're usually scared of what we do not know. And that's because we're relying on our own strength of our own knowledge. You see, that's also a comparison to when we compare ourselves to each other. Comparing each other is comparing what I know about myself to what I don't know about others. And when we are strapped in fear, we're relying on our own strength. We're thinking that this situation is out of my ability. Now I'm scared. But what did the two servants say? I'm not scared. I know that this talent that God has gifted me is valuable. And I know that as a profitable servant, this needs to bring a return. Why? Because of gratitude that this was gifted to me. You see, this parable isn't about works. This parable isn't to work, 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 and in the end, God says, good and faithful servant, enter into the joy of the Lord, or opposite. This parable is rooted in faith, if you have faith. And that faith will produce good works. You see, the unprofitable servant, he didn't have faith. He took that talent and buried it. The master calls him a wicked and slothful servant. I don't know if he was totally slothful. If we look at ourselves, in our lives today, if I think about myself also, I see many entrepreneurs in our church, both men and women, many doers, many go-getters, lift yourself by the bootstrap types. But here, this wicked servant may not have been slothful in doing, but was slothful in his spirituality. How many of us are slothful in our spirituality? We may be doing great, and we may be building our businesses. And we may be doing a great job at building up what we can accumulate. But how many of us are lazy in our Bible reading? How many of us are slothful in our faith? What does that look like? How many of us take a first chance to tell our testimony to somebody? Or looking for opportunities where we can give a helping hand or help out. You know, fear really grips us. And fear will make us freeze sometimes. One time I was driving on 71, and it was raining, and I was driving our work van. And there was a man on the side of the road in a motorcycle. Pouring rain. Something told me to pull over. Pulled over, asked him if he needed a ride. Said yes, he ran out of gas. We actually pulled his motorcycle up in my work van. We took him to the gas station. You know, as I passed him, there was something that told me, stop, he needs help. But there was something else that told me he could be a mass murderer, slit your throat, and leave you in the ditch on the side of the road. I'm sure many of you have had that situation. The latter is not trusting that God would take care of us. I know that kind of sounds extreme. And I'm not necessarily saying that we should go and pick up everybody on the side of the road. But what I'm saying is that have we considered in our own lives that there are situations that we are crippled in fear that we're not willing to exercise our faith, to grow our faith, because we're scared of what the consequences are, of how I might look to my coworker, or how I may be treated at school, that I'm too afraid to let my faith spread out open and tell others about Jesus. This is such a safe place that we're in right now. But does God always want us to be in safe places? Or is God taking us somewhere else in danger, where we have nowhere else to turn but to Him and say, Lord, I'm scared. I don't know where to go. I feel like I'm in danger, but Lord, help me. Would you rather rely on your own strength or the strength of the Almighty? You see, that's what faith does. Faith is that valuable resource that God is the one that protects. Sometimes we think, I'm going to preserve my faith. My faith is mine to preserve, and God entrusted me here to keep this safe. Is that what God always wants for us? Or does God sometimes say, exercise it? The risk of saving one who is lost is worth the reward. Heaven is at stake. And the kingdom is at hand. So in that story, I myself struggled between the two. Whipped the wheel and pulled over. And he thanked me, and I said, I'm glad I was able to help you out, but I'm doing this because of who I serve. What do you mean? Well, I'm a Christian, and Jesus is my Savior, and for some reason, I felt called and compelled to pull over and help you out. And he just said, God bless you. This story isn't a miraculous story. Maybe it led to something down the road, but that's not who we're not the ones that are going to be saving everybody. It's God that does the saving. We're just little blips on the road to somebody's journey of life. And with so many here, we can make such a difference for the kingdom. If we would but have more courage than the unprofitable servant. If we would relinquish our fears. If we would relinquish the fact that we think that we're the preservers of faith. That the gospel depends on us. If you don't declare the gospel, God will find another way. And if no human voices the saving grace of Jesus Christ, Him and Him dying on the cross, crucified, then we'll see rocks cry out. My brothers and sisters, don't let the rocks cry out. Be the one that takes this precious, precious talent that He has entrusted you with. My friend, outside of Christ, this talent is also being presented to you today. It's on a platter. It can't get easier to present. And it can't get easier to accept. So as we look at this parable, and as we digest it, and I would petition you to read through chapter 25. And focus maybe on this parable of the talent. Because sometimes in our lives, we are like Elijah. Do You remember Elijah when he was under the tree? He was terrified. The Queen of Sheba was after him, right? He thought it depended on him. But what did God say? God said, I have prepared 7,000 for you that have not bowed the knee to Baal. If we rely on our own strength, even as far as our faith, we will end up underneath fig trees. But if we look up to heaven, and if we humble ourselves, and we ask that God would grant the increase and that his faith would be profound in our lives, he'll give us the confidence to say, you're not the only one. In those times of depression, in those times of anxiety, we think we're the only one going through this situation. That's why the comparison analogy, comparing one to another, is so dangerous. Because we always put on our best to each other, right? We all look really nice and presentable this Sunday morning. But we are at our best. We don't always know that our brother or sister is struggling, or our friend is struggling. And that's where the third parable came in. To look to those who are naked that need clothed, that are hungry that need food, that are thirsty and that need water. Oh, I'm not talking about anything tangible. He was talking about faith. He was talking about those that are spiritually thirsty, and those that are spiritually hungry, and those that need to be robed for the wedding, as he spoke earlier in Matthew. You see, the third servant, his judgment was to be cast where there is weeping and gnashing of teeth. Jesus uses this analogy 6 times in the book of Matthew. 6 times, he used that exact phrase, and cast the unprofitable servant into outer darkness. There shall be weeping and gnashing of teeth. See, Jesus talked more about the kingdom than anything else. He's talking about what a spiritual aspect, he's talking about the spiritual aspect of our lives. For unto every one that hath shall be given, and he shall have abundance, but from him that hath not shall be taken away, even that which he hath. You see, the consequence wasn't that he would have his talent reduced. The consequence was that his talent was totally taken away. So today, as we look, each one, into our hearts, let us use this opportunity to analyze. Am I prepared for this gospel? That's for you, my unconverted friend. Then that gospel that I'm prepared for, can I declare it? Can I shout it from the rooftops? Can I bring an investment? Can I rely on the value of it? And rely on the one who can grant the increase? And then finally, can we demonstrate it? Put it to action. That the world out there would know that there is a God and he is alive. May the Lord bless the word upon our hearts. Amen.
The gospel of our Lord is one that is a call to action, to do, to follow. And I was reminded this morning of a scripture that we meditated on not long ago in 1 Timothy chapter 4, where Paul encourages Timothy, "Neglect not the gift that is in thee." And later, "Take heed unto thyself and unto the doctrine. Continue in them, for in doing this thou shalt both save thyself and them that hear thee." Continue in them. This parable talks about that a little bit. When Jesus mentions that after a long time, the Lord of those servants cometh and reckoneth with them. We need patience. We need to continue. But we also need to get up and to do and to occupy until the Lord comes. He is the one with whom we have to do. And may the Lord bless his word that each of God's servants would be found occupying till he comes. Amen.